Welcome back, everybody. We're diving into generative AI in higher education this week.
Ooh, that's a hot topic for sure.
It really is. And we've got a great resource to dig into for this deep dive.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
So it's a webinar by Joanna Boeing from Bridgewater State University for higher ed professionals. It's part of their Focus on Friday SLO Talks series, so it gets right to the point.
Nice. So what are we going to be focusing on today? Like, what are the big takeaways?
Really, it's all about the need for caution with all this excitement around AI.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like everyone's jumping on the bandwagon a little too quickly.
Exactly. Like every day there's a new tool promising you to change everything.
Right. It's like, whoa, hold on a second.
And Joanna really gets into some of the challenges that come with it, you know, before we just jump in head first.
Yeah, that's smart. So what are some of the things she brings up?
Well, one of the first things she talks about is accessibility.
Okay, interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about it. You've got these free versions of AI tools, which don't have a lot of features and might not be so secure. And then you've got the enterprise versions.
Mm-hmm. The fancy ones.
Yeah, but those come with a big price tag.
Yeah, that's true.
So then how do we make sure all students can access these tools?
Yeah, that's a good point. How do we make it fair for everyone if money's an issue?
Exactly. And it's not just about individual students. It's about whole institutions.
Oh, right. How so?
Like they have to figure out which tools to use and how to actually use them.
Yeah, that makes sense. It must be tough to choose with so many options out there.
It is. And Joanna brings up a good example. Microsoft Copilot is being piloted at Bridgewater State.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And they're integrating it right into their learning management system.
Okay. So, I mean, that sounds cool, but I can see how it could be tricky for institutions to keep up.
Oh, absolutely. There are just so many tools out there and new ones popping up all the time.
Right. So what's Joanna's take on that? Like, how should schools handle all of this?
Well, she really stresses that institutions need to have a solid plan.
Oh, for sure.
Like how to evaluate these tools and how to actually implement them while always keeping things like equity and data security in mind.
Yeah, definitely. You can't just throw AI into the mix without thinking about the bigger picture.
Exactly. And then there's the whole issue of becoming too reliant on these tools. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I've definitely fallen down that rabbit hole myself.
It's so easy to get caught up in getting the perfect output.
Oh, I know. You just keep tweaking and tweaking those prompts forever.
Yeah. But then what happens when students just depend on AI to do all the thinking for them?
Ooh, that's a scary thought.
And Joanna actually highlights some research about this.
Really? What kind of research?
So there's a 2024 study from Smart Learning Environments that found that even though AI can be great for improving writing skills.
Okay.
If students rely on it too much, it can actually hurt their critical thinking skills.
Oh, that's not good.
And their creativity and even their ethics.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal.
It is. It's not just about students not being able to brainstorm ideas anymore.
Yeah.
It's about them not being able to think critically or make good decisions.
Right. So it's not just about being creative. It's about developing those core skills.
Exactly. And to back this up, Joanna brings in another study by Kuz and Waxman, and this one directly links AI-generated content to students getting worse at critical thinking and creativity.
Wow. Okay, so we really need to find the right balance here.
Absolutely. It's about finding a way to use AI to help learning without letting it hold students back from developing those key skills.
Right, it's like a tightrope walk. We need to be careful not to fall into the trap of letting technology do all the work for us.
Exactly. And that brings us to something that I think we often forget about when we're talking about all this cool new tech.
What's that?
The environmental impact.
Oh, right. There's always a hidden cost, isn't there?
Yeah. And AI is no exception.
So, like, what does Joanna say about that?
Well, she points out something kind of ironic. You know how AI is being presented as a way to help with environmental problems?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she says the technology itself has a huge environmental impact.
Huh, that's interesting. So what are the main concerns when it comes to AI and the environment? Like, what are we talking about here?
Joanna breaks it down into three main areas: e-waste, energy consumption, and water usage.
Okay, let's start with e-waste. What's the deal there?
So data centers, which are basically the backbone of all this AI stuff, they use a ton of resources.
I can imagine, they're huge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they need these rare earth elements, which are often mined in ways that are really harmful to the environment.
Oh, like destroying ecosystems and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then when those components eventually die,
yeah,
we're left with mountains of hazardous waste.
So it's bad for the environment from start to finish, from getting the materials to getting rid of them.
Right. And then there's the energy that these data centers use.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
They need so much power. And most of it comes from fossil fuels.
Really? I thought we were moving away from those.
We are, but not fast enough when it comes to these data centers.
So, like, how much energy are we talking about?
Joanna shared a statistic that really blew my mind.
I'm ready. Hit me with it.
Just one ChatGPT request uses 10 times more electricity than a Google search.
Wait, what? 10 times?
10 times. It's crazy.
It's like we're trying to use AI to solve climate change, but then the technology itself is making it worse.
I know, right? It's a tough situation.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated. Okay, so we've got the e-waste problem and the energy problem. What was the third thing again?
Water usage. Data centers need a lot of water to keep all those computers cool.
Oh, right. Makes sense.
And remember how a ChatGPT request uses 10 times more electricity than a Google search?
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around that one.
Well, it also uses 500 milliliters of water for every 5 to 50 prompts.
So like a whole water bottle for just a few questions.
Pretty much. And when you think about the fact that so many people in the world don't have access to clean water.
Yeah.
It makes you wonder if it's really worth it.
That's a really good point. And it's not just the water used during operation either, right? There's also the water used to manufacture all the parts for these data centers.
Exactly. It's a massive footprint.
Okay, wow. We've covered a lot of ground here. It's clear that the environmental impact of AI is a major concern.
It really is.
Should we take a break? Get a sip of water, maybe?
Good idea. I need a minute to process all of this. We'll be back in a bit to dive into some more of Joanna's insights.
Okay, so ready to get back into it.
Yeah, absolutely. What's next on the list?
Well, Joanna also spends some time talking about misinformation.
Right, because it's not like that's a new problem or anything.
Exactly, but AI kind of adds a whole other layer to it.
Yeah, that's true. It's like we've got all this fake news already, and now AI can create fake text and images and even videos. It's getting harder and harder to know what's real.
It really is, and that's one of the biggest challenges educators are facing right now. How do you teach students to be critical thinkers when technology can create such realistic fakes?
That's a tough one. I mean, where do you even begin?
Well, Joanna breaks down three types of bias that are especially important when we're talking about AI and misinformation.
Okay, let's hear them. What are they?
So there's algorithmic bias, data bias, and user bias.
Okay, so let's unpack those a bit. What exactly is algorithmic bias?
Basically, it means that the way an algorithm is designed can actually create bias, even if the data it's using is totally neutral.
So it's like the algorithm itself has built-in biases?
Exactly. Even with the best intentions, you can still end up with an AI that produces biased results.
Wow, that's kind of scary.
It is. And then there's data bias, which happens when the data used to train the AI is already biased.
Right, because if you train an AI on biased information, it's going to learn to be biased too.
Precisely. And that's why it's so important to pay attention to the data sets that are used to train these AI models. What they're learning from makes a big difference.
It's like the old saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly. You put garbage in, you get garbage out. And then the third type of bias, user bias, that one's a little trickier.
Okay, how so? What makes it different?
Well, it's about how our own biases can influence the way we use AI and the information we get from it. Like, think about confirmation bias.
Right.
We tend to look for information that supports what we already believe, even if it's not true.
Yeah, that's true. We all do that sometimes.
And with AI, it's easy to kind of manipulate the system to give you the answers you want. Like maybe rephrasing a question over and over until you get the response that fits your own viewpoint.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So even if the AI itself is unbiased, we can still introduce bias through the way we interact with it.
That's a good point. I hadn't really thought about it that way before. And then on top of all that, there's the issue of AI hallucinations.
Right, hallucinations.
That sounds pretty intense. What exactly does that mean when we're talking about AI?
Basically, it means that the AI is making stuff up.
Like completely fabricating information.
Yep. Even though it might sound totally believable. Oh, wow, that's wild. So an AI could write a whole research paper full of fake facts.
That's the worry. And it makes it even more important to teach students how to evaluate information carefully.
Right.
They can't just assume that something is true just because it came from an AI.
Definitely. They need to know how to fact check and cross-reference information.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And to be skeptical of anything that sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got algorithmic bias, data bias, user bias, and AI hallucinations all contributing to the spread of misinformation.
It's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming. But it's important to be aware of these issues, especially in an academic setting where the accuracy of information is so crucial. Did you want to take a break or should we keep going?
Let's keep rolling. This is fascinating. What else did Joanna talk about?
Well, she also got into the issue of privacy and consent, which is becoming even more important as AI becomes more and more integrated into our lives.
Yeah, I can definitely see how that would be a concern. Like, AI seems to know so much about us already. It's true. AI systems are collecting massive amounts of data all the time, sometimes without us even knowing it.
It's like Big Brother is watching, but it's an algorithm instead of a person.
And that's exactly the kind of creep factor that Joanna talks about.
So what are they doing with all this information? What's the purpose?
Well, some of it is being used to train AI models to help them get better at understanding human language and behavior. But there's also a concern that this data could be used for things that we didn't agree to, like targeted advertising or even surveillance.
Well, that's not good. It's like we're losing control of our own information. I don't like that one bit.
I know, it's unsettling. And Joanna really emphasizes that this is something we need to be paying attention to, especially in education where we're dealing with students' personal information.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of transparency and accountability. So what are some of the specific risks that Joanna highlights when it comes to AI and privacy?
Well, she talks about cybersecurity, non-consensual data use, and the lack of opt-out mechanisms.
Okay, let's break those down. What are the cybersecurity risks?
Well, one of the big concerns is that AI can be used to create really sophisticated malware, like viruses and phishing scams.
And because AI is always learning and evolving, it's hard to keep up with the latest threats.
Exactly. It's a constantly moving target. And then there's the issue of deepfakes, which are AI-generated videos or audio recordings that can make it look like someone is saying or doing something they never did.
Wow. So you could literally create a video of someone confessing to a crime they didn't commit.
That's the scary part. And it's becoming increasingly difficult to tell the difference between real and fake content.
That's seriously messed up. So cybersecurity is a big one. What about non-consensual data use? What does that look like?
Well, basically, it means using our personal data, like our photos, videos, and online activity, to train AI models without our permission.
And that's happening already.
It is. And it raises some serious ethical questions about who owns our data and how it can be used. Shouldn't we have a say in how our information is used, especially when it's feeding into these powerful AI systems?
For sure. It's like our privacy is being eroded without us even realizing it. And what about those opt-out mechanisms?
Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Right. Well, that's another problem. Sometimes, even if you don't want your data to be used, there's no way to say no.
Oh, I see. So you're basically trapped.
In a way, yes. And that lack of control can feel really disempowering. So, yeah, between bias, misinformation, and privacy violations, it's understandable to feel a little hesitant about AI.
Absolutely. I mean, with all these concerns, it makes you wonder if it's even worth the risk.
I get it. But before we throw the baby out with the bathwater, let's see what Joanna has to say about the future of AI in higher ed. Maybe there's a way to harness the power of this technology while also addressing these challenges.
All right, I'm ready to hear what she has to say. Hopefully there's some good news on the horizon.
All right, so where does Joanna see things going from here? What's her take on the future of AI in higher ed?
Yeah, I'm curious too. Does she think there's a way to make all of this work?
Well, she does have some optimism. You know, she acknowledges all the challenges we just talked about, but she also sees some potential bright spots.
Oh, good. I was hoping for some good news.
One of the things she predicts is that more and more schools will start using enterprise versions of AI tools.
Okay, so the more robust ones with better features.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And usually those also have stronger security and privacy protections compared to those free versions everyone's using now.
Yeah, that makes sense. So it's like investing in the good stuff at an institutional level instead of everyone just using whatever they can find on their own.
Right. And she's also hopeful about reducing the environmental impact of all this AI stuff.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Because that was a pretty big concern.
It was, but there's more awareness about it now, which is a good start.
Yeah, for sure.
And she mentions some positive steps that are being taken. Like the UN has actually come up with some guidelines for ethical AI.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the EU and the US are working on laws to try to limit the environmental damage from AI.
Okay, so it sounds like people are starting to take this seriously, which is good.
Exactly. And it's not just about regulations. Joanna also talks about ways to make the technology itself more sustainable.
Oh, like what?
Well, one thing is designing algorithms that use less computing power.
So basically making them more efficient.
Right. And another is developing new hardware that's less energy intensive.
So working on the infrastructure side too, not just the software.
Exactly. It's like a multi-pronged approach.
And then there's the whole issue of powering those data centers.
Oh, yeah. All that electricity they gobble up.
Exactly. But Joanna's hopeful about the transition to renewable energy sources.
Oh, yeah. Like solar and wind power.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies are making pledges to switch over, and some countries are making it a requirement. So there's some movement in the right direction.
There is, but it's not all sunshine and rainbows, unfortunately. Joanna also has some serious concerns about the future of AI.
Oh, I was wondering when we'd get back to those.
One of her biggest worries is that AI could actually make us worse at critical thinking in the long run.
Uh-oh, that's not good.
She compares it to what's happening with social media.
Okay.
Like how constantly being exposed to curated content and echo chambers can make us less able to think for ourselves and engage with different viewpoints.
Yeah, that's definitely a valid concern. If we get too used to AI doing the thinking for us, what happens to our own critical thinking skills?
Exactly. And that's a really important question for educators to think about.
Absolutely. What else is she worried about?
Well, she's also concerned about the spread of misinformation, even with all the efforts to fight it.
It feels like a losing battle sometimes.
I know, right? It's like playing whack-a-mole with all the fake news and disinformation out there.
So what can we do about it? How do we stay ahead of the curve?
Well, Joanna's big on developing what she calls sophisticated media literacy skills.
So being able to tell what's real and what's fake online.
Yeah. Like knowing how to evaluate sources, recognize bias, and just generally be more savvy about the information we're consuming.
Right. So it's not just about learning how to use AI tools, but also learning how to think critically about the information those tools produce.
Exactly. And of course, there's the elephant in the room, job displacement.
Oh, yeah. The robots are coming for our jobs.
Well, maybe not robots exactly, but as AI gets more sophisticated, it's pretty much guaranteed that some jobs will be automated.
Yeah, that's inevitable.
And that raises some big questions about what the future of work will look like and what skills students will need to be successful.
It's a whole societal shift that we're starting to see, and education has a huge role to play in preparing for it.
Couldn't agree more. And that brings us back to Joanna's main message. We need to be careful and thoughtful about how we use AI in education.
It's not about rejecting the technology altogether.
Right.
Right. It's about understanding both the potential and the risks, and then using it in a way that aligns with our values and our goals for education.
And that takes ongoing conversation and collaboration between educators, policymakers, technologists, and even students.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to be involved in shaping the future of AI in education.
This is a huge conversation that's just getting started, and it's one that we all need to be part of. So to all of you listening, we want to hear from you. What role do you see yourself playing in this? What questions are on your mind? What are you hoping for, and what are you worried about? Let's keep this conversation going and figure this out together.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into generative AI in higher ed. We hope you found it insightful. We'll see you next time.